Hey, this is Perry. This is actually a throwback podcast from 2018 where I appeared on another podcast, The Optical Journal, by Daniel Fellman. And I'm going to go into my life story. I'm going to talk about how I gained my entrepreneurial spirit, and you're going to learn, you know, what is it like working with family? You know, how did I get into the career? What do I think of optical? How do we increase sales? You know, how can frame companies do better? How can optometrists make more money? So enjoy this little snippet into my life from 2 years ago. The world seems small.
We can see this week, we speak with Perry Brill of Brill Eye Center, one of the new generation of opticians with their eyes on how optical is changing. I am Daniel Feldman, and this is the Optical Business News Podcast. Since last week we talked to a couple of industry veterans, we thought this week we would speak with one of the new generation of opticians shaking things up, Perry Brill of Brill Eye Center. Here is my recent interview with Perry. All right, I'm speaking with Perry Brill of Brill Eye Center in Mission, Kansas. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Daniel?
I'm fine, thank you. You grew up in a family business. Your father's an optometrist. So I'm betting the discussion around the dinner table was a little bit about optical almost every night.
Every night, you know, growing up in a eye care family, my dad's been practicing 40 years in Mission, Kansas, just a nice suburb right outside of Kansas City, about 10 minutes. But yeah, elementary school, the dinner conversation always went from, you know, how was school to, you know, this patient said so-and-so. So definitely an interesting experience. And you don't really know what your parents do until you probably hit the high school, college age. And you come full circle and realize, okay, you know, entrepreneurial family, selling eyeglasses, doing innovative things. But fun to grow up in one and be in one currently.
And when did you start full-time with your family?
Started 6 years ago. So little background on me. I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit. Like age 16, I needed a car, had no job. You know, parents were well off, but they didn't want to buy me a car. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna try something. I didn't want to work for anybody. That wasn't my thing. So I started painting addresses on curbs. I had a little business called Curb Masters. I was making like $30 an hour in the summers, which was fantastic.
Great.
And then after that, I went to University of Kansas, studied environmental science. School's never really been my thing. I always excelled in it, but I always want to zip through it. So part-time during college, I joined an optical out there. I got really quality training from some good opticians out there. It was a four-doctor practice. And that was kind of my launch into it. Fell in love. Involved tech and fashion and functionality. And I love all three of those things. I graduated school in like 3 years, and that was the beginning of it.
That's very cool. Well, and I reached out to you because I see you a lot on Facebook. You definitely have some strong opinions, but I like what you have to say. I like the passion that you have behind what you have to say. And to me, passion is everything in this business. It's too many people go through the motions, and you're not. So, and that's why I wanted to talk with you today. So how do you see optical changing? You grew up in it, and you're now part of a new generation that's moving forward.
Yeah, it's super exciting. I like the strong foundation that optical has. It's always going to be around. And I don't see the internet as a barrier. It's actually definitely an avenue to do greater things. You know, one of the things I see that's hard in optical is reaching any type of scale or, you know, larger capacity. And the avenues we have to walk through as young opticians or optical managers or really anyone in the eye care profession, it's just really invigorating to see that happen.
Your dad owns a store. How do you and your dad get along as far. I know you get along because I've seen you walking through the shows. But when you present ideas, is he really open to them? Does he fight you and make you prove your point? How does all of that work?
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting question. Most of the time we jive pretty well, actually. My mom also works in the practice. She's a receptionist. She holds stronger roles than that. She's kind of the glue and the eyes at the front, which every optical needs. But yeah, we definitely get along together. We're both very business-minded, and we bounce ideas off each other. Even between when he's flipping lanes, I'll try and flag him down. I have a new idea. But yeah, we get along. And just like any family, we're going to go at lunch, we're going to yell at each other, but we get back to business when it's time to. But yeah, it's fun working in the family environment. You're able to be compassionate with each other, you understand each other. And yeah, certainly when I come up with ideas and I want to execute on them, it's hard to make your family want to prove something because you want to have that inherent trust in them. And that's one of the things I'm getting a little stronger at is, I'm going to come with things written up, with a plan, and then ask for permission.
So an interesting dynamic with your family. You're doing the eyewear side, the sunglass side. Your mom is there to guide you as well. Does your dad make recommendations to patients, or does he leave that up to his opticians? How does that work in your particular practice?
Yeah, so like any quality optical and or optometry practice, you always try to make the doctor recommendation and do the handoff in the exam room. It provides a medical diagnosis and that trusting relationship of the transfer of care from doctor to patient. So yeah, so we're pretty typical in that aspect. We assume everyone who chooses us chooses to come to us because they want a nice marble floor. They want a lovely facility, and they want professional help. So I think in optical, it's important to understand that when someone chooses a private practice or interesting, boutique optical, they're there because they chose to be there. So a lot of us, become a little frightened. Does this person want to purchase? But you have to have that confidence that people want help, and they might not always want something extra fancy, but you should always assume that people came to you for a good reason.
Well, and I was looking at your website, and it's a nice looking website, and you have a wide variety of brand names, which personally I like. I mean, you go up and down the board that you have, some of very affordable frames. You have a lot of nice names in the middle. You have some very high-end frames. How do you select the brands that you're going to sell?
Yeah, the frame selection, I definitely take pride in, and I have passion. I'm definitely open to catering to all segments of the Kansas City market. I like the high-end sector because, the products are technical. You get into some high fashion design, whether it's big branded or boutique, branded luxury eyewear. I think catering to a broad market is wise. I always think there's this growth cycle that all optical consumers go through. I'm 26 years old. I'm fortunate to have a great job, great family. But if you're straight out of school, you're probably not going to be buying, gold eyewear or, real fancy, Japanese dials. But if you can offer someone an entree into nice eyewear, slowly build up their wardrobe and know that in 3, 4 years, you can introduce them into luxury. I think that's the long game that a lot of people should learn to play. We all want to be successful with opticals right out of the bat, but you really need a 3 to 5 year plan of how can you get people through a life cycle of purchasing patterns.
Well, I like what you say. I love the wardrobe aspect of it because it certainly connotes more than one pair of eyeglasses, which, of course, being in the business, we all want to see, but it's a necessity as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it really is a necessity. And if you can instill this fun energy in the optical, people really love that. During any optical sale, I try to de-emphasize to my optical crew that, try and build a relationship, talk less about the eyewear and have that bond. Just have a conversation about whatever is on your mind. And, you know, that's what people remember. They're always going to know that you had nice eyewear because they can see the facility. But if they remember your name and remember who you are, that's the most important part, is that personal branding. And, you know, I think every optician can have a personal brand within a brand. Just like, you know, any major department store, you're going to know who the shoe guy is. You're going to know who's measuring the suits. You're going to remember the gal at the perfume counter. So be that person within the optical who has your own brand.
Well, and being 26, you probably have a different outlook on how to attract customers than your father might. And I would guess that's a little more focused into the digital arena. What sort of advertising and promotion do you do?
Yeah, so the digital arena, I definitely like to dabble in. It's exciting, you know, just like a lot of you. I spend most of my day online, and I think it's interesting. The boomers are becoming millennials, and the millennials are becoming boomers. What I mean by that is millennials want service now. You know, you go to a restaurant, and then they switch out the black napkin with a white napkin. When you realize that, you're like, wow, this is service. And then the boomers want to do everything online. So social media is a different way to interact with each group of people. And, you know, I followed some influencers online, such as Gary Vee or Seth Godin, and they really kind of instill these progressive ways of how you can utilize social media to really attract the clientele you want. And just like progressing people into getting bigger wardrobes, there's a life cycle to romancing people on the internet.
Yeah. Well, I know we've had our conversations about Snapchat. I think you're pretty involved in Instagram now as well.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to convey a small local brand just through normal advertising, you know, through your website or through mailing campaigns. But if you can constantly kind of pound it over Instagram, or, you know, I really like Snapchat stories because it's kind of throwaway content. You can make it fun, not really have to worry about if you're leaving a bad impression out there, and people kind of take it lighthearted. So I know I definitely have like a following on Snapchat of a lot of my friend group who luckily have became clientele. And they're not necessarily coming in asking for discounts. They're coming to me because they know there's something different going on within the optical.
And you go to Vision Expos.
I do, yes.
And is it to learn, to buy? Is it, what do you think for, you know, optical people to go to, you know, these different trade shows?
Yeah, my main focus of going to Vision Expos, I don't really like setting up any appointments. I feel like it's an utter waste of time. I know which vendors I want to go see because they keep showing up in my feeds or through some of the Facebook forums. But I really go for networking opportunities and to walk around like a maze. I think that's the best way to utilize time. I'm sure the education's great, and they have some quality things going on in the classes. But really, being able to explore, mingle with people, and talk to people you don't know, I think is your most valuable use of time. You probably know, Daniel, you know, all of a sudden you look at your clock, you're thinking, oh my goodness, I have, you know, 10 minutes to hit 10 more booths on a Sunday afternoon before you catch a flight home. So,
Expo. It goes quick.
Yeah, Expo is for exploration. And, you know, I think the coolest thing about Expo is running into a lot of the tech providers. That's one of the markets I definitely would like to hit hard. And I think there's some interesting things going on with customized eyewear. Bricks and Clicks is making a big, big impact in the industry. And that's something I want to be a part of. And I think we all need to embrace it. And sure, there's bad things that can come from it. But when you can involve an online retailer with a quality bricks and mortar location, there's some good synergies going on there.
Are there any secret brands, secret new discoveries that you want to share with people they can't have it in Mission, Kansas.
Yeah, I need like a need a 300 mile exclusive on it. You know, I think there's it's always good to have a small density of purveyors of any optical product. You know, I wish we could all mingle with our competitors a little more, because you know it's not a bad thing to know your frenemies. But some cool brands that I'm kind of linking up with right now. And Chroma is definitely number one. I think they entered the optical market in a unoptical way. You know, they came on board as an internet company. They know they are, and they want to sell direct to consumer. And I'm totally cool with that. But they've done their part. They've respected the ECP, and they delivered quality product, quality leads, and they make frequent communication with the ECPs to be a good partner. You know, and other you know models. You know, Warby has definitely came into the market, and I definitely praise them. They've done a fabulous job. The eyewear's increased in quality. And I, you know, I see some of the frames coming through for POF for lenses, and you know, I'm impressed. I have nothing bad to say about Warby. They're doing a great job. Some other cool people entering the market. One's called David Kind, good friend Dave Barton, and he's entered into kind of this Warby sector of wanting to send frames home, but he's trying to do it in a little more luxurious way. And definitely include the ECP in these transactions. So, my word to advice any young guy or gal who finds optical really intriguing is, you know, there's tons of opportunities out there that you can jump on and reach out to some of these companies, because they're dying to connect and making a lasting impact with some opticians that are going to stick around and want to be a good partner.
So where do you see this going, this marriage of 3D printing and you know, a brick and mortar store?
Yeah, as far as kind of 3D printing and customization and bricks and mortar, I feel like there's eventually going to be online opticians where we can give professional advice at the comfort of our home, our office, and we're going to have a less reliance on inventory needs. If you look around your optical, I carry 2,400 frames, which if you were to probably talk to a consultant, they'd say I'm completely, you know, stupid. But that's my unique selling proposition. I have 2,400 pairs of glasses, and you know, we're like an optical emporium. It's an inventory mess, but it's impressive when you see it. But yeah, you know, the optical industry is definitely moving into a new stage where we're going to be inventorying less. Things are going to be made to order, and we'll be successfully selling online with quality standards. I know that's a big discussion on a lot of the forums, is how can you get the seg height right, or the OC, or the PD, or, you know, you're right. You're asking the right lifestyle questions when you're fitting a progressive. And, you know, there's really no trick to this, and there's no special sauce yet, but I think it's something we can look forward to. We have to embrace that. There's disruptive innovation out there, and I want to be that disruptive innovator working on it currently, like all of us. But embrace the change and go with the flow on it.
Perry, we've talked about this before. There's a cool factor. You know, Nike or Adidas or somebody comes out with a hot new shoe, and everybody seems to be waiting for the release of that shoe. And it is so hot that people will actually go online and try and buy them, and then they flip them, like buying a cheap house and selling it for double the money. You mentioned this before. There's none of this in optical.
Yeah, Daniel. So I have friends, and every time Adidas launches a shoe, they hop online. It's an exclusive shoe. Maybe it's partnered with some type of hip hop artist, and they'll buy it for maybe $500. They go onto an online shoe auction website, maybe flip it for $1,000. And it amazes me how there can be so much hype in a shoe product. And I wish there was the same energy and emotion that went into eyewear. You know, there's so many eyewear enthusiasts out there. You know, imagine when, you know, Kazal launches a new like retro style, a classic, and you have a, you know, like Jay-Z, you know, sporting it. I mean, everyone would want that frame. And I wish we had that ability to exert the same emotion and hype and online launches of eyewear. I think it would really drive a new sector of business to people that want to be involved in that.
I agree with you. It just seems in so many cases it's pure luck. So, you know, I think back to, oh man, this is ancient history now, but you know, when Sarah Palin was picked to be the VP, people were calling left and right to pick up those Kawasaki glasses. You know, a more recent example might be Oprah with Sosbury. But do these companies really take advantage of that and, you know, work, you know, double, triple shifts to put out those frames? I don't think so. It's such a tight market. It was just people calling.
Yeah, no, you're totally right there. You know, when Kawasaki got blessed with Sarah Palin and establishing the SP lens shape, which is still pretty cool, I think, or when Oprah wore her frames to the awards show. Yeah, those are big boosts in business for those companies. But I think it's really a shift in how we think about optical marketing. Most of us on the wholesale side are probably thinking, well, you know, we need to gain more accounts. Accounts leads to more success. But, you know, I really think about it the other way. If, you know, you don't need, you know, 1,000 accounts in the country to have a significant impact on your bottom line. If you take maybe half those accounts, 500 of them, focus, you know, maybe half your marketing going direct to consumer, half to industry, I think there's a good counterbalance there. Brand awareness counts for a lot. Mm-hmm. People connect with stories, people connect with people, and people connect with, you know, the feeling and emotion of things. So we need to move a little away from core industry advertising, probably through print advertising, through industry publications and, you know, big $100,000 expo booths, to more of a ground roots campaign, you know, something like a president would do. You know, you're in the field, you have to actually talk to people and publicize things.
You would like to see, you know, eyewear manufacturers spend a little more time, a little more money doing things that you could do on a local level that could support you in your store, in your market.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's fascinating when optical representatives come into your gallery and say, hey, your sales are down. When I'm thinking, no, I've done my part. What have you guys done to support me? Well, we gave you a cling. Well, you know, that was maybe great 10 years ago, but we've moved on to a different market where we have to rely on each other. It can't be a one-way street.
I could make an argument about what some of the digital properties that some companies hand out, but I won't.
Or you can't even get them out of companies anymore. Like, oh, we have to call Betty and Betty's on 4 weeks sabbatical.
You know, Perry, this has been fascinating. I do love your passion for the business. I do love your new ideas. I like that you don't take no for an answer. So I think you're one of the new generation who is really, truly going to make a difference. And it's an honor to know you. And I can't wait to watch and find out about the great things that you're going to accomplish.
Thank you for learning about my life. I know I was so special to you. I'm kidding. Hey, give me one favor, please, right now. I need you to leave a 5-star review for my podcast so other eye care professionals like yourself can find my podcast and learn about more positive things in the industry. A lot of us don't read anymore, and we listen to everything and watch videos. So please go to iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to this. Give me a 5-star rating. Jot down some notes. Thank you.